Al-Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Welcome back, my dear and respected brothers and sisters, to lesson 9 of the common mistakes in prayer. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wallahi, we have reached a very good point, taken a lot of points as well. And for those who have not caught up with us, please go to the YouTube channel, inshallah, Al-Bayan Radio Australia. Catch up. Alhamdulillah, we've got a lot of good points, a lot of common mistakes which many fall into, unfortunately. And inshallah ta'ala, through this series, we learnt and we are learning. And inshallah azza wa jal, we will continue to learn for the following weeks some common mistakes regarding the prayer and what people perform in prayer. Last week, we finished off with the narrations regarding the actual recitation, and we finished off some common mistakes what people do regarding the recitation, such as not reciting in the correct order, such as not reciting certain verses or certain chapters and the likes when they should be recited in certain prayers, such as the Sunnah of Fajr. We said the Sunnah of Jumu'ah, both at Fajr time and also in the actual Jumu'ah prayer and the like. So inshallah ta'ala, tonight or today, we'll get straight back into it. And today, inshallah, we'll be discussing the ruku'. But before we actually discuss and get into the ruku', we first want to do that which we have become accustomed to, and that is speaking about some general mistakes which people do. Some general mistakes regarding the prayer, which inshallah we'll take two right now because they come in the same narration. And I'll mention the second one first because I believe that it is more common than the first. But first, let's see what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there is no prayer when the food is present. La salata bihadrati ta'am. There is no prayer when the food is present. Wala wa huwa yudafi'uhu al-akhbathan. So the first thing is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning there is no prayer when the food is present, and also there is no prayer when the person is struggling with the two evils. What is the two evils being referred to? Urination and defecation. Yani, as we know it in the slang, the number one and the number two, as the general people, common people know it. Now, why is this the case? Why would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention that there is no prayer when the food is present? Meaning when the food has been served, there is no prayer. And likewise, when the person needs to go to the toilet, there is no prayer. Because if he goes into the prayer whilst he is in this state, yani for example, needing to go to the toilet or the food is there, his mind will not be there. He'll be focused on other than the prayer. He'll be focused on other than the prayer. And it'll be all over the place. Especially, you know, when there's a nice, regarding the food, sayniyat wara anib or something like this, yani a nice, really nice meal waiting there. And then the person needs to pray now. And especially when he's hungry and the likes, here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says there is no prayer. What does it mean exactly, there is no prayer? There is no prayer here, meaning the prayer will not be complete. But of course, if the food is present, and the food is ready, and the food is on the table, or this person needs to go to the toilet, but he starts the prayer of course is still valid. He will not receive the complete reward. And that's only logical as well, because we mentioned in previous episodes and previous lessons that the prayer is like a mark. You get a certain mark, a certain reward out of the prayer. We're trying to get that complete reward, that perfect mark, or close to it as much as we can. We want to try perfecting our prayer. But if you need to go to the toilet, then like we said, your mind's going to be all over the place. You're going to be struggling. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the word yudafi'uh. Yani he's going to be struggling with it. To hold it in until he finishes the prayer. He'll probably rush the prayer, either because he wants to eat or because he wants to go and finish what he needs to finish. Yani relieve himself of this need of the going to the toilet. And as we mentioned previously, as-salatu silah. As-salatu silatun bayna rabbi wal-abd. Or bayn al-abdi wal-rab, that the prayer is a connection. You need to, when you go into the prayer, be ready, both spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. You need to be ready to stand before Allah Azza wa Jal, especially considering the hadith we mentioned, that Allah Azza wa Jal is in front of the slave when he prays. Allah Azza wa Jal is in front of the slave when he praise. So Subhan al-Khaliq, it's so important that when you pray being content, meaning of food. You're not, you know, completely hungry, that your mind is all thinking, you know, about the food after, and all I want to do is finish the prayer so I can go eat. And likewise, you go to the toilet first. So important that the scholars that they mention, or they mention that if the person is actually going to miss the congregation, subhanallah, and we mentioned how important the congregation actually is, but if the person is going to miss the congregation, it is still fine, it is still okay. Because why? If he goes to that congregation, the same thing is going to happen. He's going to go to pray and the food's already been served, and he needs to go to the toilet, or he needs to go to the toilet, his mind is still not going to be there in the prayer. So now, if for example you need to go pray in the jama'ah, for the brother specifically, of course, yani you want to go to the mosque, but you need to go to the toilet. But you fear, if I go to the toilet and relieve myself, I might miss the congregation. Go to the toilet. Go to the toilet and finish off what you need to do. And then if you make the congregation, alhamdulillah. And if you don't, alhamdulillah, you still, insha'Allah ta'ala, obviously you can make it up, insha'Allah. If you can grab someone, that'd be great. But insha'Allah, here you are excused. And here, one of the main narrations regarding this is the narration of Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ibn Umar, as we know, Abdullah, he was the son of Al-Faruq, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma actually was one of the companions, as we all know, insha'Allah ta'ala, that was most eager to put the sunnah. As we know, all of them were. All of them were, but Ibn Umar was known for this. Subhanallah, he was so eager to do the sunnah and perform the sunnah. What does he say? The narration mentions regarding him, إِذَا وُضِعَ عَشَاءُ أَحَدِكُمْ, that if the dinner, and really it's any meal, not just dinner, whatever meal it is, even if you have breakfast right at Fajr time, for example, and you wake up and your family has prepared for you a breakfast and it's already there, and the iqama is going off, or the adhan has went off, you still first eat and then you go, inshallah. But let us see what the hadith actually mentions. He says, إِذَا وُضِعَ عَشَاءُ أَحَدِكُمْ, that if the dinner has been served for you or placed for you, وَأُقِيمَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, and the prayer has been, the iqama has been established for the prayer, yani the prayer, it's about to be begun. Subhanallah, not the adhan here. Wa uqimati salah, and the iqama has been recited, it's been pronounced, it's been established. They're about to pray. What does he say? He says, fabda'u bil asha. This is Ibn Umar, a great companion, a mountain of a companion. He says, begin, start off with dinner. وَلَا يَعْجَلُ حَتَّى يَفْرُغَ مِنْهِ, and he should not rush, يعني eating, he should not rush until he's content, until he finishes, يعني. Now we're not saying here that you need to go and have that five course meal or five star meal, subhanallah, that you go and you have meal one, and then 2 minutes later meal two, then 10 minutes later meal three, then you get meal four, and then no, but at least eat until you're content, so that when you go out you will not be distracted by the food. And the hadith mentions وَكَانَ ابْنُ عُمَرَ, and Ibn Umar used to, what used to happen regarding him, يُوضَعُ لَهُ الطَّعَامُ, that the food would be placed for him, and the prayer would be established, the iqama would be established. They're about to go into prayer now. He says, فَلَا يَأْتِيَهَا حَتَّى يَفْرُغْ, he would not go to the prayer until he would finish eating. وَإِنَّهُ لَا يَسْمَعُ قِرَاءَةَ الْإِمَامِ, Allahu Akbar, even though, and whilst he would actually hear the recitation of the imam. He would hear the recitation of the imam. Now, once again, this is more so for the brothers, but if the sisters find themselves in this predicament or this situation, especially the food one or the toilet one, actually, they can still start, of course, with these two things. Why I mentioned the jama'ah one is, of course, more specifically for the men, is because, as we know, the best place that a woman can pray is in her household anyway. But, of course, the ruling is still for both men and women regarding the food and, of course, the needing to go to the toilet. Now, brothers and sisters, we finished from that general sunnah or general kind of common mistake which people fall into, the two of them. Now let us go into the common mistakes regarding the ruku'. Now, from the common mistakes here is when the brothers are praying in congregation and they beat the imam. This is, once again, very, very serious. And likewise, if the woman is praying in congregation as well, whether it be with her maharim from amongst the males, or whether it be with a group of women, because as we know, it is permissible for a lady to pray in congregation, of course, as well, even if that is with her fellow women. Okay, what is better, what is not? The scholars, they differ. That is not the topic today. The topic today, the point today is what? The point today is that you should not beat the imam. You should not beat the imam. Very, very important. Yani, wallahi, so important that, for example, if you're going to start the prayer now and the imam hasn't started the prayer and you say Allahu Akbar to enter the prayer before the imam, some of the ulama, they mentioned here the prayer is invalid. Now, why I mentioned some, that's a whole other topic as well. Inshallah ta'ala, that can be discussed in fiqh lessons. But if he goes and he beats the imam and then he continues with the imam here, this prayer needs to be repeated because now he has beaten the imam regarding the entrance or the entry into the prayer. So, why or how is this linked to ruku', yani beating the imam? A lot of people, what they do, they begin the bending of their back before the imam has even bent his back. Last week and the week before, we touched up on the fact or the point that when you go into the prayer or when you go into ruku', the bowing position. Ruku', of course, my brothers and sisters, the bowing position after the standing position. When you go into this ruku', you should be saying the Allahu Akbar we mentioned in between. Okay, some people, they begin the action of bending their backs after having obviously been upright, they begin bending their backs to go into ruku' before the imam even does. For example, they know the end of the verse. You know, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَقُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Now they know the imam, of course, is going to go into ruku'. This imam might pause, as we said, is the sunnah, and take a breather. So before he does this, okay, or when he does this, the person might not know that the imam's paused and he beats him. Or the imam, for example, he thinks the imam is going straight into ruku' or quicker than he will be going into ruku', so he beats him. The point is here, wait until the imam reaches the next position, which is the ruku', and then you make your move. Likewise with all the other actions of the prayer. Don't make your move into the action, as we'll see next week, inshallah, regarding the sujood, until the imam reaches that position. And it's a very serious matter. Yani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ. The imam has been placed there. The imam has been placed there, has been appointed so that he can be followed. He can be followed, meaning you move after he moves. That is following him. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, فَإِذَا كَبَّرَ فَكَبِّرُوا. When he makes takbir, yani says Allahu Akbar, then, yani right after, then after you make takbir. You don't do it at the same time as him or before. وَلَا تُكَبِّرُ حَتَّى يُكَبِّرُ, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And don't say Allahu Akbar until he says it. Yani, let him say it and finish it, and then you say Allahu Akbar. وَإِذَا رَكَعَ فَارْكَعُوا وَلَا تَرْكَعُوا حَتَّى يَرْكَعُ. And if he goes into ruku', the bowing position, then likewise, then you go into ruku'. And do not, he says, make ruku' until he makes ruku'. So this shows us we are not to beat the imam, and it's such a serious matter, so serious, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَمَا يَخْشَى أَوْ أَلَا يَخْشَى أَحَدُكُمْ إِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ وَأَوَى الْإِمَامُ سَاجِدٌ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ رَأْسَهُ رَأْسَ حِمَارٍ أَوْ صُورَتَهُ صُورَةَ حِمَارٍ. That does not one of you fear, or does one of you not fear, that he who raises his head whilst the imam is prostrating, and the same thing is with the bowing and the likes. Does this person that raises his head, that beats the imam basically, does he not fear that Allah may change his head into a donkey's, yani donkey's head, or change his face into a donkey's face, or figure into a donkey's figure? Yani, how serious is this threat? Some of the ulama, they said, what does this mean? Does one of you who raises his head before the imam raises his head when he is prostrating, and like we said, the same ruling for the rest of the actions, does he not fear that Allah changes his figure or his head or his body, yani, or the likes? Does he not fear that Allah will change his, you know, figure into the figure of a donkey, his face into the face of a donkey? Some of the ulama, they said it's literal, that Allah Azza wa Jal may literally do this. And it could be on the day of resurrection, it could be in the dunya, only Allah knows best. Some of the ulama said it's figurative or metaphorical, meaning what? Meaning the donkey is known for its little comprehension and its little understanding, subhanAllah. So they said that this could be a punishment, that Allah Azza wa Jal may not bless him with understanding and comprehension and the like. So it is a very serious matter. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Atimmu ruku'a was sujood," bow and prostrate properly, complete them properly. فَوَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَرَاكُمْ مِنْ خَلْفِ ظَهْرِ فِي رُكُوعِنَا وَفِي رُكُوعِكُمْ وَسُجُودِكُمْ. He says, by the one in whose hand, or he says, by Allah. So he starts off the narration and mentions, bow and prostrate properly. By Allah, subhanAllah, he makes an oath. I can see you from behind my back when you prostrate. Allahu Akbar. I can see you from behind my back when you prostrate. Subhanallah, what do we mean? Or what does he mean, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Let us see in another narration. He says, aqimu sufufakum, straighten your rows properly. Look how much emphasis he put on it, and we spoke about that. He says, straighten your rows properly. Make your row straight. Watarasu, and come close to one another. Fa inni arakum min wara'i dhahri. That I can see you from behind my back. What do you mean, ya Rasulullah? What do we mean? That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam can see us behind our backs, or behind his back, sorry. It's clear and it's straightforward. And this is literal, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the ability in prayer to see those behind him, behind his back. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful narration. What a beautiful narration. Now here, another extreme that some people, they do, is they delay so much. This is another mistake. They delay so much that the imam is almost finished the next position, and then they go into that position. For example, maybe they haven't finished reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. They've got another 3 verses to go. The imam's already in ruku'. Just go into ruku', my brothers and sisters. Don't wait. Don't wait. You're excused here. Just go into ruku' and follow the imam. Do not delay yourself, because some of the ulama, they mentioned that if the person delays so much intentionally whilst the imam goes into the next position, in this case ruku', and the person behind him is still standing saying the Fatiha, for example, and the imam comes up and the person behind him has still not went into ruku', some of the ulama, they mentioned that this person's prayer has become invalid. This person's prayer has become invalid. So to summarize that point, the sunnah is not to go into the next position until the imam has reached that position. And inshallah, next week we're going to see the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is in respect to sujood, but we did mention that in reality it can be for all the actual actions and pillars and the likes of the prayer. He says, Al-Bara, kunna ma'a an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la yahnu minna dhahrahu hatta narahu qad sajad. That when we used to pray with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we were in prayer and none of us would even bend his back. Now imagine, now after the bowing position you stand, none of us would even bend his back until his forehead will reach the sujood position. Until his forehead would reach the sujood position. So inshaAllah ta'ala, that is clear. Now that we're going into ruku', we've had that pause, alhamdulillah, after the recitation. We want to raise our hands, of course, because this is one of the positions in the prayer where we do raise our hands. And we mentioned where we raise our hands, not just throwing them up sloppily and the likes. No, we raise them in line with our shoulders or in line with our ears and the likes. Now we want to be in the actual position of ruku'. Why is it so important to be in this position properly and to perform this pillar properly? Abu Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a companion, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said regarding the prayer, if someone was to ask you, who is the worst thief? Who is the worst thief? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us, aswa'un nasi sariqatan, the one, or sariqatan, aswa'un nasi sariqatan, the one who commits the worst theft. The worst thief is who, ya Rasulullah? Alladhi yasriqu min as-salah, or min salatihi. The one that steals from his prayer. Steals from his prayer. The companion, they said, or he said, ya Rasulullah, how? Wa kayfa yasriqu min salatihi? How does one steal from his prayer? Qala la yutimmu wa la yatimmu ruku'ahu, la yutimmu ruku'ahu wa la sujudah. Subhanallah, he says that he does not complete, it's ruku', it's bowing, and it's sujood, meaning it's prostrating. So yani, this is the one that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is the worst thief, the one basically who does not perform bowing and prostrating, ruku' and sujood properly. And once he saw a man not completing his ruku' properly, remember we said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could see behind him in prayer, and this was a miracle. This was, subhanallah, one of the miracles that Allah azza wa jal blessed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with, that in prayer he could see behind his back. Once he saw an individual doing ruku', pecking, and we know this is forbidden and prohibited in the prayer. You are not allowed to kind of peck. You're not allowed to peck in your ruku' and in your sujood. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? He said, if this man was to die in this state, he would die on a faith. Subhanallah, a faith. Yani meaning a path, a way. On a way or path or faith other than that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Pecking yani as a crow pecks at blood or at food and the likes. Then he says he does not make ruku' lately and pecks in his sujood, or the one that does not make ruku' properly and pecks in his sujood is like a hungry person who eats one or two dates. Yani imagine being very hungry and you go and you have one date or two dates. Is that really going to benefit you? Meaning, is that really going to suffice you? And is that really going to settle your anger? No. So he says he's like the one that eats one or two dates which are of no use to him at all, subhanallah. And once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lamaha bi mu'akhari aynih, that he had a glance in the corner of his eye, you know, or aynayhi rajulan, he saw kind of a man with the corner of his eye, la yuqimu salatahu yani sulbah, that he does not kind of perform or settle his bowing, his spine properly when he bows, subhanallah. You know, fir ruku', as the hadith says, in ruku' was sujood, and also in the prostration. What does the hadith mention? فَلَمَّا قَضَى النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ الصَّلَاةِ, when he finished from the prayer and performed it and he finished it, what did he say, showing us once again how severe it is? He says, يَا مَعْشَرَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, oh Muslims, yani, what, ya Rasulullah, what do you want to tell us, subhanallah? What is it? La salata liman lam, or liman la yuqimu sulbahu fi ruku'i wa sujood. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He says, oh Muslims, what is it, ya Rasulullah? What do you want to tell us right after the prayer? Directly after the prayer. Can you imagine how important the matter must be? He says, there is no prayer. There is no prayer for the one who does not settle his spine when bowing and prostrating. Subhanal Khaliq yani. So we are not to peck. We are not to peck up and down, up and down, up and down like the animal pecks. We are not to do this. This is prohibited. Like, so what are we meant to do? We mentioned in one of the lessons the matter of tranquility. The matter of tranquility. And we said that that is when the body, limbs and the likes take their position. Take their position for every kind of pillar. So here, what should you do? You should wait until you get in the proper position, in a tranquil position, and the limbs have taken their proper places. And once Hudhayfa, a companion, subhanallah, he saw the Prophet, or he saw, sorry, someone. He saw someone performing the ruku' and the sujood incorrectly. So what did he say? Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, for how long have you been praying like this? The man said, for 40 years. The companion Hudhayfa said to this tabi'i, his companion, the companion of the companion, he says, for 40 years you have not prayed. And if you die praying like this, you will have died following a path other than the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, subhanallah, yani, you would have died following a path other than the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to finish off, inshaAllah ta'ala, in the next 5 to 10 minutes, let us actually get into the common mistakes. That was a brief introduction regarding the importance of the ruku' and sujood, and of course regarding the general mistakes about someone praying when he needs to go to the toilet. And of course the same thing and likewise is when he needs to hold in gas. Say he needs to, for example, pass wind. Likewise, he should not enter the prayer whilst he's struggling and he has to hold it in. And as we said, this is a matter of khushu', submissiveness, humility and humbleness and the likes. So we should make sure we go into the prayer having no distractions and the likes. So here, let us begin with the first mistake. And this is in no specific order regarding the ruku'. We said one of them is not raising the hands. When you go into ruku', you should raise the hands. This is one of the positions where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to raise the hands when going into the ruku'. Now, one of the main mistakes, subhanallah, which occurs in the ruku' is the person not bending their back properly. properly. When you go into ruku', my brothers and sisters, the back should be completely flat. It should not be bent halfway as many do. So for example, the back should not be like this. Should not be like this, subhanAllah. Okay, some people, they bend, they have a half bend and the likes. No, the back should be completely flat. Completely flat. Where did that come from? The hadith is clear. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, كان إذا ركع بسط ظهره وسواه. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to make ruku', he would spread his back and make it level. To the extent that, hatta, to the extent, لو صب عليه الماء لاستقر. To the extent that if water was to be poured on his back, it would remain where it was, subhanAllah. It would not fall off. It would not fall off. That's how straight he used to make his back. So when you, subhanAllah, make ruku', make sure, and brothers and sisters, that you are making your back straight and level. And level. And if you need to ask somebody or look at yourself in a mirror and the likes to make sure you're doing it properly, of course, there's no problem with this. Do this, inshallah. And he said to the one that prayed badly, he said to one of the companions, يعني وامدد ظهرك, يعني make your back spread and flat and level, subhanAllah. And one of the mistakes also is that when the people go into ruku', they put their fingers together. They put their fingers together when grabbing onto the knees. And also, when they go into ruku', they may not even grab their knees. Some of them, what do? They go all the way down to their shins, subhanAllah. You know, you got to be pretty flexible to do that, I think, Allahu A'lam, yani. But the point is that we have to grab our knees, grab them firmly as well, not just place. Not just place, but grab them and spread between the fingers in the ruku', as was mentioned on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, or it's mentioned, وَكَانَ يَضَعُ كَفَّيْهِ وَكَانَ يَضَعُ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِذَلِكَ. He would place this hadith mentions. He would place his palms, his hands on his knees, and he would spread between his fingers. And in another narration, وَكَانَ يُمَكِّنُ يَدَيْهِ مِنْ رُكْبَتَيْهِ وَكَانَ يَفْرُجُ وَيُفَرِّجُ بَيْنَ أَصَابِعِهِ. That he would grab his knees firmly and he would spread his fingers. And he would spread his fingers. And he actually said, when you make ruku', place your palms on your knees and space your fingers out. And remain like that until every limb takes its proper place. Not like what some people they do. You know, you'd think that, did they even say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim in and out, up and down? No, we are not to do this. And we already mentioned, we're not to peck. Also, the next mistake is the head. The head, my brothers and sisters, some people go to two extremes regarding this. As we said, the back is meant to be straight. And likewise, the head is meant to follow the back. The head is not to be like what some people they do, bent down or down all the way, for example. No. And the head is not to the other extreme where it's completely looking up or it's up more. No. The head is meant to be in line with the back and with the body. And how is that meant to be? We already mentioned it is meant to be flat and it is meant to be straight. So the head, we do not go to either extreme by having it up or down. We keep it level. And once again, we should be looking at the place of our prostration with the head level with our backs, and all that should be straight and flat and not curved and not bent. And the hadith also mentions, and inshallah this can be the last one that we mentioned, regarding the elbows. Some people, when they're praying, they keep their elbows in. They keep their elbows in tight, subhanAllah, when they're in ruku' and sujood. No, in ruku' and sujood, my brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's been mentioned regarding him, وَكَانَ يُجَافِي subhanAllah, وَكَانَ يُجَافِي مِرْفَقَيْهِ جَنْبَيْهِ. And he would spread or keep his elbows away from his side to the extent, subhanAllah. The companions, what do they say regarding seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do this, in specifically referring to the sujood? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would spread between or spread his elbows away from his side, so much so that the hadith mentions that the whiteness of his armpits used to show. And in another narration it mentions, in kunna la na'wi li rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mimma yujafi bi yadayhi an janbayhi idha sajad. That we used to feel sorry for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because of the pain, subhanAllah, to keep his arms away from his sides when he used to prostrate. But he, something I found also common in the people, which is un-Islamic, is that when you pray, or when they're praying in a congregation or with someone next to them, okay, they want to do this sunnah, which is good, they're eager to do it, but they basically want to, or they do destroy someone's khushu', they destroy someone's khushu', they destroy someone's prayer, their focus on their prayer and the likes, because they want to do this sunnah. Yani they're so close together and there's no room to really put the elbows away from the sides to that degree, but the person is adamant on doing it, and in this he harms the Muslim, subhanallah. We should not do this. Yani we do not perform a haram or something which will harm others whilst trying to perform a sunnah. Can you imagine at Hajj time, you got, for example, someone who, Allahumma barik, might be 7 foot tall, 6 foot, six, 6 foot, seven, 6 foot, eight, and he wants to touch the black stone and kiss it, subhanAllah. He wants to kiss the black stone. But for him to get to that black stone, he needs to, you know, fight off 50 people. He needs to literally elbow a few people, probably punch a few people. He needs to, you know, cause bloodshed, subhanAllah. We say to this person, don't kiss the black stone. Don't kiss it. Just point to it. Don't kiss it here, because you're going to be committing a sin trying to perform a sunnah. Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says beautiful wordings regarding this. And this is something which you can use as a principle, my brothers and sisters, about not performing a haram or harm to others whilst trying to perform a sunnah. He says, تَرْكُ السُنَّةِ لِدَفْعِ الْأَذِيَّةِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ فِعْلِ السُنَّةِ مَعَ الْأَذِيَّةِ. He says, leaving off a sunnah, okay, because you want to protect from harm, you don't want to commit harm, is better than performing the sunnah whilst committing harm. فَهَذَا الْمُتَوَرِّكِ. So this person in the sitting position, the tawarruk position, as we'll see next week, it's a certain position which we are to sit in, or which the sunnah is to sit in the last or tashahud that we do. إِذَا كَانَ بِتَوَرُّكِهِ يُؤْذِي جَارَهُ فَلَا يَتَوَرَّكِ. Yani if he sits in this position, and if he has to harm someone else for him to position and sit in this position, he is not to do this. He is not to sit in the position. وَإِذَا عَلِمَ اللَّهُ مِن نِيَّتِهِ أَنَّهُ لَوْلَا هَذَا لَتَوَرَّكْ. That if Allah, or Allah Azza wa Jal, knows for his intention, that if it wasn't for him harming someone else, he would have sat like that, subhanAllah. Likewise, the person that's praying next to someone else, when he wants to spread his arms, or his, sorry, elbows away from his sides, but he'll harm someone else if he does this. So he doesn't do this, or he does it lightly. Allah Azza wa Jal knows this person's intention. And the Shaykh rahimahullah, he says that Allah Azza wa Jal knows his intention, and he knows that if it wasn't for harming someone else, he would have performed the sunnah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُثِيبُهُ. Allah Azza wa Jal will reward him, inshaAllah. لأنه يكون كمن قال فيهم الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because he is the one that the messenger, or he is like the one that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said regarding him, من مرض أو سافر كتب له ما كان يعمل صحيحا مقيما. That whoever gets sick or whoever travels, he will still have that which, or he will still have written for him that which he used to do when he used to be healthy or be a resident. Allahu Akbar. Applies to us, of course, my brothers and sisters, that applies to us in our day and age with this coronavirus. If you were somebody who used to attend lessons, who used to, for example, attend the masjid regularly, who used to pray in congregation, who used to do all of these things, but because of this coronavirus, of course, he was not able to do all of these things because the masajid are closed, then inshallah ta'ala, you will still get rewarded the same and like you used to get rewarded in the past. And that's a reminder as well. I'd like to just remind, to finish off in this minute or two, my brothers and sisters, imagine in the future, another epidemic or pandemic like this happened, or imagine there was a reason for the masajid to be closed, or imagine you get sick in the future and you are not able to attend the masajid. Imagine that. Now, we learn from this mistake. If you are somebody who did not used to attend the masajid regularly, okay, then of course the hadith is not necessarily applicable, meaning because you did not used to attend the masajid regularly and praying congregation regularly and the likes, you may not receive those rewards, because the hadith mentions that these rewards are for the ones that if they were sick or if they were traveling, they get written for them that which they used to do. So you need to have done it. So if you were somebody who did not used to do that, take it as a reminder and make it a motivator and an encouragement for you to go to the masjid regularly. Because can you imagine another period like this happen? A pandemic, an epidemic, a reason for the masajid to be closed. If you do go regularly, Allah Ta'ala, even though the masajid are closed, you will get rewarded inshallah as if they were still open. And inshallah Ta'ala will continue next week with the rising from the bowing position and also with the sujood. Jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us and allow us to benefit from this series. And like we mentioned, if somebody wants to catch up or did not catch up with us lessons and episodes, please go back inshallah ta'ala. Wallahi, there is great benefit. It could be approximately 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10 hours of your life that you spend and these lessons, but you correct your prayer for the rest of your life, for the rest of that which Allah Azza wa Jal writes for you of life, يعني, and also that of your family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless us and alleviate us of the sicknesses and the burdens. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the inhabitants of Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. Wallahu a'la wa a'lam. Wa salli lahumma wa sallim wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.